CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. It's Monday. Let's get cracking. Only a little bit of November left, and then we're in. We're into the last month of the year.
Yes, Gareth, there's 26 days of November, so this time in a month, well, less, 3 weeks, no one be working.
Yeah.
Nobody.
That's right. Exactly from, today in a month is Boxing Day.
Day in a month is already past Christmas.
Are you doing a whole lot of things? Have you got a whole plan for December?
Sort of, yeah. Well, we're doing a road trip around mid-December, because
nice.
We haven't gone down to the Cape in quite a while, and we're going to go to Gariep Dam.
Oh, that's nice.
Mikey's Fontein, then Riebeekwes, because that's where we generally stay.
Right.
And then a little bit of the Winelands, a little bit of the Cape Town, and then back to cats that'll look at us and go, where the hell have you been?
Well, they probably won't even miss you.
No, they will.
Cats?
I was away for this weekend. Meowsers gave me a look like, you piece of shit.
Really?
Yeah.
See, they do...
Upping and leaving.
Yeah. They do actually like us. They just pretend not to.
Yeah, I know my cat, Meowsers, likes me. Hopkins is just a savage.
How's he doing? He's how old now?
Well, I've taken him for walks now.
A cat walk?
He's approaching...
Have you ever heard such things in your life?
8 or 9 months, I imagine. So he's got like... I worked out the other day, his back legs look like Oscar's blades. Because he's quite long.
Yeah.
And very bouncy. Oh. And his back legs just remind me of Oscar's blades before running on the track.
Oh,
and he runs around the flats. Our apartment's built like a giant cat house. There's these strange levels and staircases and things to jump on. And he wants more. So I took him out for a few walks.
Uh-huh.
And then he comes back howling like a lion. Like I told you a story last week, and it just hasn't stopped. He thinks he's a big deal. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Oscar Pistorius, someone told me he's under house arrest.
Really?
I don't know. I mean,
why is he in
bullshit.
A house?
No, I think he's in prison. But someone said it, and I was like, no.
When would this move have happened, and how would it
after
have
that,
missed all
after
of
that,
us?
After that funeral that pissed Sivengezi off so much.
Jeez. Okay, then.
I don't know. I mean, he has to actually be in jail for like, I think it's a good 6 or 7 years before he even... has a chance of changing that, right?
Well, that's what happens when you commit a murder. You generally go to jail. You don't get told to go to your room.
Yeah.
Told to go to the tronk.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that what house arrest is, being told to go to your room?
Exactly.
Like, that's what it is. It's like a kid being told to go to their room.
For some adults, that's bliss. Stay at home. Sure.
And in Oscar's case, it's more Uncle Arnold's Abbey. So it's go to your rooms.
Right.
Go to the living quarters.
Like go to the west wing.
Yes.
Go to your wing.
Uh-huh. So I'm pretty sure he's happy about that. Oh, there's actually a picture of Oscar outside in the free world.
Let's see.
Well, this is when he was going out to
the
memorial
funeral.
Service. Yeah, for his grandfather.
What's he doing there?
It's him in the car.
Oh.
Okay. If you squint, you just see a white shirt, a black tie.
Oh, okay.
And him in the back seat. Nothing more, nothing less.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's, you know... The correctional services departments are like a great big mystery. Nobody really knows what happens behind those walls.
What was the term they used? Compassionate leave. That's what he got.
Oh, right.
Compassionate leave.
Okay.
Well, that's nice.
Then he'll also get, you know, I don't know.
Like compassionate
work leave, all of these things.
Compassionate birthday.
Yeah.
Yes.
Compassionate everything. So Quentin started off firing an email to us. Quentin says... Morning all. Gareth, you look very smart in that suit at the wedding. Please explain what's up with the WhatsApp photo with your hand. Looks like you've had an awesome weekend. Have a great week. Great show. Let's start off
with your hand.
A picture of the bride. I'll show you now what he's talking about. It looks like I'm fondling her breast.
Oh.
But I'm holding her hand.
Gareth, that's really inappropriate. You can't just go to weddings
hand.
And do this.
Oh, so man. You see this picture. It looks like I'm touching her inappropriately.
Yeah, ooh. Why are you doing that? New husband's right there.
I'm holding her hand. She's got her hand up, and you can't see it. It's just out of shot.
No, Quince, I'm with you on that.
Anyway, so yeah, how was the weekend? How was yours, Sia?
Oh, I am reeling from World War III in the Sanguini household.
Uh-oh, why?
Yeah.
What happened?
We are just having family drama that's now compounded. So if you, whatever opinion you have of me...
Is it
me,
to do with you?
Yes.
Is it your fault?
Not necessarily, but me being fiery and very pa-pow-pow with my feelings. Pa-pow-pow. That's it.
This is the thing.
And then you multiply it with my sisters and you multiply it with my parents. We all just have emotions and we're firing that way. It started off on Friday as we're trying to cement our December plans because the entire family is all over the country. So it's who's coming home at this date and will we all home on Christmas Eve?
Let me guess what this is about.
Mm.
You have gone ahead and booked flights and things and planned your life.
Not
and now it doesn't
yet.
Fit with the rest of the family.
And they weren't liking my plans because they wanted me home earlier to be at some aunt's dinner or something or the other. And I was just basically saying, I don't know this person.
Is this the aunt who wears a dressing gown and smokes and
drinks? No, because I actually like her. I think she's cool and badass. You know, I don't know why I have to be home for dinner with someone I don't know just to impress someone else. My parents didn't like that. My sisters were ganging up on me. So then I just very maturely said, well, if nobody is happy with my plans right now, then I won't see you guys at dinner or December at all.
Or December. So you're currently in a state of war with the family. Okay.
Have a nice life.
Yeah. It is so immature. It's so petty. But this is my family. We are either at a zero or at a 100%.
This is the time of year where these things happen.
Yeah,
definitely.
Everyone is just at each other's throats. So currently, I've had to resort to blocking my father. So,
oh Jesus, you've blocked him on your phone?
It is so...
Have you blocked him?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It is that, like, guttural, horrible... Mm.
So, wow, very serious stuff there.
If anyone wants to call me for Christmas, you know, Christmas lunch, no, I'll probably, you know, we'll apologize to each other, I'll go back, we'll be together for Christmas. But it was just, it started off on Friday afternoon, and all the way till yesterday afternoon when I had to say, okay, I'm not answering anyone's calls. I'm not responding to messages anymore. This is all done. But it is just a mess, an absolute mess.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Good God. All right. Did you have a better weekend, Ass? How was yours?
I didn't really. I sometimes have, if I get a slight sinus infection, it affects my teeth. You know, it's all connected.
Yeah, sure. There's a whole bunch of cavities in your head.
Yeah.
And it's not just her, by the way, before you start laughing at her.
And
it's everybody.
You know, when you're counting down, I got antibiotics, but when you're counting down the minutes before you can take your next painkiller.
Ooh,
and you're kind of walking around the house in circles because you're trying to escape the pain. It's like a six on the scale.
Horrible.
How does it feel?
Or it's just like the worst toothache. You want the dentist to just pull your teeth out.
Pull your mouth out.
Yeah.
It's that bad.
Yeah. No, it's hectic. But better this morning, which is good. So it seems to be we're getting there.
Well, you do love Mondays.
Yeah, let this toothache not ruin your favorite day of the week.
Yeah. It's already been ruined. I was all conditioned up in the shower and the water went off.
Oh, God.
And then on the way here, there were two broken down taxis, one in the middle lane with its tire neatly propped up next to it.
Oh, that's always nice. Yeah, that's always good.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Anyway.
Wow, what a weekend.
We've had positive weekends.
So, yeah, so basically, Leanne and Sia had a shit weekend, and yours, Ben, was amazing.
Yeah, Gareth, it was real top notch. The Gary Player Invitational. It's just the benchmark in brilliance. It really is. And I'm not even talking about the great man. This event, from top to bottom, it's just incredible. Like, get to the palace, check into the palace on Thursday, you leave Sunday afternoon, and in between, like, they have the most rammed schedule of, like, nights out, great golfing things, huge amounts of celebrities. Flaming Alan Ford was there.
Oh!
it was just, like, you want to basically just stop and try to take it all in. Because normally when you go on sporting things, it's a sporting thing. But this is just flat out and so good. And no expenses kind of spared. Like, almost 3 million rand was raised over the weekend for Gary's foundation and then the beneficiaries upon that. There's some big celebs. One of them was Sir Kenny Dalglish.
Remind us who he is again.
He's just been knighted, Sir Kenny. So he was the Liverpool legend.
Is Dalglish really his name?
Dalglish.
Dalglish.
Kenny Dalglish. So Kenny Dalglish, he's been knighted. He's like he's a huge football legend. So, you know, in around Liverpool circles, he's called King Kenny. So many people joke now that he's called Sir Kenny. It's like a downgrade. And he was there. So Flaming Adam Ford arrives on the Saturday.
Yes.
In a huff and a puff.
Yeah, always frantic.
Sorry, Friday. So Friday night's the gala dinner. Thursday is this really nice welcoming function by the massive elephant at the Lost City at the palace.
Yeah.
And then Friday's the gala dinner. So Alan Ford is now telling me, right, who the celebs? Tell me, show me, I'm going to go get selfies. So Alan starts getting selfies with anybody who's famous. So Brian McFadden from Westlife fame, he was there. Graham Smith was there. There's a couple of footballers, obviously golfers and that kind of stuff. And then he says, okay, well, who's the most famous person right here, right now? So I look around and he goes, oh, look, there's Sir Kenny Dalglish. So Alan's like, who's that? Like, well, he's like a Liverpool legend. He's just been knighted. He's a real big deal. So I'm making a video for the whole weekend. So I go just kind of to the one corner to get like a panning shot of the room. I have told Alan exactly who Kenny is, and I've left him at that. I look up, and I now see Alan with his phone out, approaching some guy who is not Kenny Dalglish.
Oh, no.
He is the guy who is chatting to Kenny Dalglish with his wife. This guy looks like an older version of Bill Maher. And he's now standing there, minding his own business, decked out in his black tie, having a good night, who just happens to be in Kenny's entourage. So I'm walking towards the direction. Alan's walking that direction as well. I'm looking at him like, you can't be serious. You don't think that's the guy. Alan follows through, just totally interrupts this guy's conversation with his wife, goes in there, pulls his phone out, and then I just can't stop laughing. So now I walk towards the bar to take it all in. Mm. Alan is now telling this guy how his dad loves him, always been a huge Liverpool fan. And only if he was here. And please, will you get a photo with me? And to make it even funnier, I've actually got this on camera because I was already, my camera was out, so now I'm filming this. And this guy, he doesn't want to obviously kind of hurt Alan's feelings.
This is older Bill Maher guy.
Older Bill Maher guy. So he's kind of playing along. All the while, Kenny's leaning on the table next to them, none the wiser. Jesus. So Alan goes ahead, gets the photo, chats to him, then walks away with this huge grin on his face, like, yeah, I got a picture with Kenny Dalglish.
Whoever
Alan,
that is.
Alan, who the hell was that? Why did you just go and bother that nice old man? And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, that's not Kenny. He's like, oh,
shit, how embarrassing.
Oh, flaming. So did you Alan film this? Ford.
I did.
That's hilarious.
It's so funny, because obviously with Alan Ford being Alan Ford, the actions don't come across in the story, but he made a huge deal about getting a picture with Kenny Dalglish. And this poor old guy looks so shell-shocked.
God, that's hilarious. It's stuff like that happens to him all the time.
It does. But this event, Gareth, was just, it was incredible. And I've been to a few before, but this one was just particularly good. It's just, yeah, it's just nice to see when things are done so well in life. Yeah. I mean, every single aspect of an event. Like, you went to a great wedding over the weekend. We all get to go to these things from time to time. And it just reminds you that, you know, you can always be better in life and do really great things. And it's just, it's cool having that. It's like better than going to some local bar and shouting at the Springboks.
Shouting at the Springboks, exactly. What a waste of the weekend. How did we do against Wales, by the way? We'll get to that in the sport.
We didn't win. Okay. I'm not saying we lost. I'm just saying we didn't win.
Mm. All right, well, it's cryptic. We'll have to find out more. I had this wedding was just so beautiful. So this is a friend of mine, and she and I kind of had a thing a long time ago, and we've remained really good friends. And she's the most just incredibly effusive person. She's got this amazing personality. She walked down the aisle at about 8 months pregnant on Saturday.
Oh, yeah?
She was 8 months pregnant?
Spectacular. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She looked amazing.
Did she look 8 months pregnant?
Yeah. She was. Oh, she was showing. Oh. Trust me. The wedding dress was designed to... Yeah.
Extra fabric was brought in.
Yeah, to show. I mean, she was.
See, what kind of question is that? 8 months, yes, there's a baby in there.
No.
The baby doesn't just rock up and go, hey, I'm here.
Some people don't really show, and I know a lot of. It's not a vain thing, I guess, but a lot of women don't want to show. You know, it's an iconic day. You want to remember it. You want to look as good as possible. But if she's embracing her bump, then.
No, she looked fantastic.
Then good for her.
And she was. I mean, it was very exciting for her because. She
ended up waiting there.
She was sober the whole way. She made a beautiful speech. Her husband is such a nice guy. It was all Scottish because he and his family are actually from Aberdeen. And so there were bagpipes and there were kilts and there were all of that sort of thing going on. Really, really lovely. Just beautiful in Constantia up in the hills with this magnificent view over vineyards and mountains. And, and this huge marquee. Lights everywhere. It was beautiful.
I think it's fun, kind of cool to look back and be able to say to your child, you were at our wedding in a way.
Exactly. Yeah, she was.
Yeah. I mean, my mum got married. When she got married the second time, I was the flower girl. And I loved being part of my mum's wedding.
Yeah. It's very cute. There were a bunch of kids as well. There were page boys and little bridesmaids. And it was very sweet. But yeah, what a terrific weekend in Cape Town. I had a whole lot of fun. Caught up with some friends there. So, yeah, Quentin's comment here that I must explain what's up in the WhatsApp photo with my hand. It looks like I'm touching her breast, but it's I'm holding her hand. Yeah, let me show Leanne because she doesn't know what I'm talking about. So I'm not holding her breast.
It's cropped off just in, you know, an awkward place.
And then
interesting photo, Gareth copying a feel from the pregnant bride.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a bad way to go, right? Like a real old, the dirty old man. Yeah. And then, yeah, everybody was just really lovely. There were some mad people. There's one dude who looked like an aging movie star.
Ooh. He just looked famous.
And he came up to me at the beginning and said, "Tonight, we're going to get drunk."
Oh, dear.
So I asked him, "All right, fine."
Like Mickey Rourke aging or like Tom Cruise aging?
No, like good aging. No, okay. He looked good. He didn't look terrible.
Gerard Butler.
Kind of long hair and, you know, sort of very international looking dude. And then he ended up getting very drunk and I was fine.
Did you not drink much?
Oh, no, I did, but I was fine. I was very composed. It was nice. I was the MC. So I got up and I said, "Look, Emily and I made this deal that when we got to 40 years old and we were both unmarried one day, we would marry each other." Mm-hmm. So everybody laughed. And I said, "Well, that leaves me with, well done for finding your husband, Emily." And I said, "Now I've got to go back to that stripper at Mavericks." That's my backup plan. So
class.
So it was lots of fun. But yeah, I had a great night out in Cape Town and it was just good. It was terrific. I walked the Sea Point Promenade with another friend of mine. I stayed with her, so we walked along the entire thing, which is fantastic. The sun was shining. There was not a cloud in the sky.
And you still have your phone with you?
I still have my phone with me this time, which is very good. I think Sea Point's less dangerous than the CBD. That's what I've learned.
There's something about the ocean that gets the criminals a little bit edgy.
Washes them away.
Yeah. Oh. It's a sea breeze. Kills the killer instinct, yeah.
Yeah, and everyone was dressed to the nines. It was amazing. You know, the girls all looked so good.
When did you get back?
Yesterday afternoon. Hmm. Yeah, I had an uneventful flight back, which is always nice. You don't want to have too many events on a flight.
Unpleasantly surprising.
Yeah, and then and here it was like windy and chilly.
Oh yeah, we had a thunderstorm. We had wind. It was great indoor weather.
Mm. Although Saturday morning was fabulous. I had a...
What did you do?
Bit of a pachnach.
A pachnach?
Or like a braai on on blankets.
It was
very nice until, you know, the rain did eventually come, but it was cooling. Huh. But yesterday was odd.
Did anyone do any Black Friday stuff?
No.
I did by mistake.
Oh. What happened?
How do you do it by mistake?
I thought I was going to avoid all shops. I said I was going to.
Yes.
And just driving home casually and thought, "Oh, I need tuna for the cats." Stopped off at Checkers. Whoa.
Filled the trolley.
Whoa. No, I just...
You're an idiot. You were to stay away from the shops. You didn't listen.
I went to the till with just 6 cans of tuna in a basket.
Yeah.
But the people in front of me and behind me had trolleys that were buckling at the knees.
Oh, wow.
With toilet paper and washing powder. And
oh, no.
Yeah, there was a bit of frantic running around. Some men had been sent there with lists.
Oh, yeah.
And they were looking like deers in the headlights.
Yeah.
They didn't know what was going on. Even the staff were like, "Oh, what's happening here?"
I see. You must have seen that video of people going into, like, I think it was a game.
It's always the game, yeah.
They roll up that that big roller door thing. Mm. And then the people come in. And they immediately, like, start pushing each other out of the way. And you know what I love about South Africa? Is it's not... These are not just, you know, black people or young people. There are old people in there. There are white people. There are black people. There are Indian people. They're all in there for the bargains. They're all as sick in the fucking head as each other.
The first thing when I looked at and saw that video was not about the human behavior. That's a given. It's game. Can these guys organize a better way of doing it? Last year, the sliding glass door was broken. This year, the security things stampeded. Why don't they get like a line kind of system? Someone get there and say, "Right, you arrive first, here's your number one." And you create an orderly line. Right.
Turnstiles.
And everyone goes.
Yeah.
You'd think after how many years of...
Jeepers, I've seen more order in those Roman Colosseums when they had gladiators coming out of those doors.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it is. It's mad.
Just roll up
and people just start grabbing stuff. This is the other weird thing, right? Is that a lot of those people probably don't need a TV.
No.
They've probably already got one. Maybe a shit TV, but now they need this TV because it's on special.
I reckon Gumtree and that kind of stuff heavy on a Monday.
Wow.
Yeah. People just trying to sell things.
Yeah. Macro today is apparently big online.
Yeah, well, today is technically Cyber Monday. Mm. This is when you get the great tech deals today.
Yeah. Okay.
So I still just don't get it. There are people who will push around trolley. I saw someone who tried to push a trolley in a mob of shoppers.
Yeah.
They got pushed over, and the trolley then all fell on top of them, almost like putting them inside a cage.
Yeah, no sympathy for that.
And no one cared to help because everyone was on their own agenda.
It always reminds me that people just don't value their time. Like, that sounds like a traumatic experience, right? It's a traumatic experience. To save, what, 250 Rand, perhaps?
Your dignity.
And also, aren't the prices put up just before?
Well, exactly. And it's like, save this much. But how much is your dignity actually worth?
That's right. That's like,
what's
it. How much is your dignity worth?
If it's nothing, if you never put a price on that, you're going to constantly be in the rut of consumerism and all this other crap that makes you unhappy.
Now, when it comes to sort of luxury purchases like TVs and that sort of thing, I don't really, unless it's something you've been planning for a long time.
Yeah, sure.
But to see people rallying around, you can see they've saved for 2 months and they've come to buy cornflakes and mealy meal and just the basics. Then you think, sure, what a bargain, you know, that it's really worth it for them.
But then if you get stabbed by like a granny with a hanger or something.
Oh my word, that changes everything.
No, it happens. It really does. There's some vicious behavior.
Well, one of these online retailers has released their stats from Black Friday.
Yes.
And this is based on, they started their Black Friday sale at 1 minute past midnight on Friday morning. And by 8:30 a.m. on Friday, they had already surpassed 11.5 million rands.
Great.
In transaction.
Well, you know what I like
in
that?
Eight and a half hours.
This should have done something to inject a little bit of consumer confidence back into the market, because we had those repo rates go up last week. And it's not good news. So if people are spending, hopefully it'll stimulate some of the retail sectors in the economy. That
very
would be
surprisingly, their top three best-selling items, number three were gaming consoles, number two were smart televisions, and number one was perfume.
Speaking of which, if anybody wants to buy a PlayStation 4, send me a tweet.
Really?
Yeah. Selling one.
Getting rid of it?
Selling one, and the price will be competitive.
You seek that opportunity, Ben. Make it happen.
You know, I've never... I used to have a gaming console, and I don't even know if I've still got it. I haven't turned the thing on. I used to use it to play DVDs.
At this stage, it's like a PlayStation 2, so nobody
wants that. Nobody wants it. No, it's crap. It's absolute rubbish. It's got to go.
Leanne and I are looking at you both like,
I have
what?
No idea what these things
what
are.
What are you talking about?
No, but this is the point, right? I'm not a gamer at all.
Yeah.
And I'd be terrible at it if I tried. Anyway, it's very, very, it's very strange.
Probably so, wants to be a gamer, but who's got the time, Gareth?
No, who's got the time?
So you guys never got into like a full-blown gaming phase?
Of course, I was a child once, I think.
Oh.
PlayStation 1, all over that.
Super Mario Brothers and things, I used to do that sort of.
Yeah.
No, they used to
Tetris,
give me too much anxiety.
King Kong.
PlayStation 1 was like my high school.
No,
wow, that's
do
incredible.
That.
Play that all the time.
Do they still, like you've got... what are the other consoles you've got?
Xbox.
Xbox and PlayStation, and then what's the other one?
Nintendo had some things, but they kind of...
Oh, yeah, Nintendo Wii.
The whole thing about
those.
Xbox and PlayStation is that they became so much more than consoles. They became these, like, hubs of entertainment.
Right.
And, so Nintendo just was a pure gaming thing.
No, unless it was SingStar, you couldn't get me to be part of it.
I play loads of games on my phone. Love it. Spend hours.
What do you play?
Township's my favorite, which is like Farmville.
Okay.
I was addicted
to
that once.
You used to like Farmville,
yeah.
I remember that.
Township now is, my town's enormous, I love it. Milking cows for days. then Seeker's Notes, which is like this, where you've got to find the hidden things in the images.
Oh yeah?
It's like a secret dark city. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I play.
All right.
That's quite fun because it's real questions.
Dun, dun, dun. Does it have the music and everything?
Yes, everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. All right, cool. I like that.
I
used to play Quiz Up, but I don't play that anymore.
Mm.
You can actually compete with people from all over the world. Listen to Leanne's game.
This is Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Oh my God. I'm getting nervous. Just yeah, you see. All right, I got you.
Let's build it up.
All right, very good. All right, so loads of things to get into today. We'll get to some news in a moment or two. Take your calls. Nola's ready for you. 0861-555-189. If you'd like to get hold of us on WhatsApp, 079-748-2090. And that goes for all the others as well. What was Signal, if people use that. What's the... there's Telegram.
Telegram.
Whatever you'd prefer to use, you can use the same number. 079-748-2090. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Very good. All right, so loads of things to talk about today because the weekend was busy. We'll get into some news. And Henry's in for Anthea this morning to tell us what's going on in the money. So we'll get to that a little later on too. Let's start with a couple of stories in the news. Where shall we begin? What do you feel like?
Start at the very beginning.
Yeah. A very good place to start.
Yes.
All right, well, here's something interesting. I don't know if this is going to be the way to solve the crime problem, but a whole lot of worshippers, religious leaders, would say that they've come up with a solution to crime. They all got together at FNB Stadium.
Is this Angus again?
I don't know if he was there, but religious leaders addressed crowds throughout the day. President Cyril Ramaphosa expected to address worshippers later. Stadium filled with people clad in different colors representing their faith groups, and the pitch also turned into a seating area. Muslim, Jewish, and Hindu leaders would also be addressing the crowds along with Christian leaders, as well as mystical performances from artists including Winnie Mashaba. And they all got together. Why? Because they're praying to stop crime and to pray for unity.
Oh. Okay.
All right, so there's at least, I mean, they all dedicated their Sunday to doing this while you sat at home.
Yeah.
So you should tell those people they should pray for employment in a strong economy, because ultimately crime doesn't flourish there.
I thought they were just blessing the FNB Stadium before Beyonce comes.
If you tell people, desperate people, to stop behaving like that, what's that going to change anything?
Well, yeah, the crom, though, Ben,
crom
is the immediate symptom, right? It's not the disease, but that's the symptom, so you're quite right. But people get together and pray about things, and I suppose if you feel like you're doing something, that's good.
That too.
I don't know what to say to that.
That too.
In the N1 in Limpopo, they actually closed the road over the weekend between Kranskop and Mokgopong. In Limpopo, they've reopened it following a deadly crash, which has claimed the lives of 7 people. Understood that the victims died after the taxi they were traveling in crashed head-on into a truck on Sunday morning. Now, you know what happened there, right? I'm guessing. Either overtaking or I'm guessing someone fell asleep. Mm. I mean, that's just awful. And you imagine you're a passenger.
No, you have very little choice. Once you get into that taxi, you have no idea what's going to happen. How he drives. You don't know him.
Authorities say the crash caused the truck to catch fire, making it difficult for emergency services to finalize the number of fatalities from the crash. They all burnt. The incident happened in the same region where 26 people died in a collision last month, while 40 others lost their lives in September when the bus they were traveling in was involved in an accident.
That's like plane crash numbers.
Yeah, those are very bad. Very, very bad numbers. And that obviously, it's a dangerous road, you know. It's a lot of traffic. And then while we're talking about fires, that California fire is the deadliest wildfire. It is responsible for the deaths of 87 people, although a number of others are still unaccounted for, 249 of them, to be precise. That's unbelievable. The deadliest and most destructive fire in California's history was finally brought under control by firefighters more than 2 weeks after it erupted, authorities said on Sunday. CAL FIRE, the state fire authority, said on its latest bulletin on Twitter, is now 100% contained. The fire, which broke out on the 8th of November, has killed a lot of people, a huge number of them unaccounted for.
It's almost the end of November now.
Can you believe it, huh? The U.S. has also shut the border post as migrants have tried to cross from Mexico. Apparently, U.S. officials briefly closed a border crossing in Southern California on Sunday after hundreds of migrants, part of the caravan that was condemned by President Donald Trump, tried to breach a fence from the Mexican city of Tijuana. Now, I thought that I watched a little bit of CNN, and they said, oh, this migrant caravan's made up. It's not a thing. Donald Trump's trying to get everybody fearful. And
so the videos and photos are not...
Well, clearly it was true. This group of people tried to cross the border illegally, which is what Donald Trump was saying they were going to do. And everybody said, oh, he's just fear-mongering and being xenophobic. And clearly that was bullshit. He was on the money. The dramatic showdown took place only 3 days after Trump threatened to close the whole border with Mexico if it gets to a level where we're going to lose control or people can start getting hurt. Border officials in San Diego, California, said on Twitter they had temporarily closed the San Ysidro crossing point, one of the busiest between the two countries, to both vehicles and pedestrians. So clearly there's a problem there. Now I'd like to hear the explanation from all those people who were saying to me it wasn't a problem. Anyway, finally, on Black Friday, more U.S. shoppers chose the computer over the shopping mall. This is interesting. You know, in South Africa, we're still worried about opening those roller doors and letting all the people in.
Mm-hmm.
In America, they finally tipped over. More people online shopping than in shops.
And that's great for courier businesses.
It is.
I think if you know the specs of something, like if it's a TV or something...
Yeah,
but if it's clothing,
you have to try it on.
Yeah, it's really difficult. Yeah.
Got to try that stuff on.
The fabric comes; it's different to what it looks like in the picture.
If the glove does not fit, you must acquit.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
All right. Well, let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the sport. The bullshit cryptocurrencies today. Bitcoin is at $4,001. Oh my god! And Ethereum at $116. Just unbelievably toilet. So, Ben, what do you have for us today in the sport? Give us the headlines.
Well, Gareth, the wrap-up of the final weekend of rugby. The Telkom Knockout Cup has now reached the finals. Banyana Banyana into the AFCON semi-finals. And the Cape Town Blitz finally lose in the MSL. All right, the new dawn of SA Rugby. Well, the 2018 year ended like it started, with a loss to Wales. Yes, the Welsh, they started bloody well. They were 14-0 up at no time at all, and they won 20-11. Bit of a dour sort of expected kind of close-ish encounter. But the Boks were tired. Let's just call it what it is. They were fatigued. They were finished. They couldn't be bothered. They tried, of course, like any other team would. But the Welsh, they were just slightly better. So 20-11, pretty average match. The Irish, they absolutely hammered the USA with their second stringers, 57-14. England hammered Australia 37-18, despite the fact that Owen Farrell again does not want to tackle with his arms, but Jaco Pepa seems to be in awe of him, just like Angus Gardner was. Scotland, they beat Argentina 14-9. New Zealand, they thrashed Italy 66-3. And then France, a bunch of dicks ruined my betting weekend.
Oh, really?
Well, I had bet on six things, like decent calls, and I thought, throw another bet in the mix to increase the odds. France obviously aren't going to lose to Fiji, are they?
Oopsie.
So if you can speak French and say, hold my beer, that's what I would say next, because France lost 14-21 to Fiji.
Oh my god.
To Fiji.
That's outrageous.
No disrespect to Fiji, but I mean, they're not really 15 men. France beat Argentina last week. Argentina are shit. Let's just call it what it is. They are pretty crap. So what does this mean for the latest world rankings? Well, Leanne, I'm glad you ask. Because New Zealand obviously are the top team in the world. That's how they'll finish the year, number one. Ireland are in second. Wales, third. Oh, Wales, third. They're not that great.
No, really how not. Did this happen?
Actually, you know what? Credit to Wales. They beat Scotland recently. They've done well this year in the Six Nations. They beat the Boks twice. They beat Australia. Then again, Australia, there's not much going on there. England will finish the year on fourth. South Africa, fifth. Kind of fair, I think. That's kind of where they are in the ultimate scheme of things. Australia 6th, Scotland 7th. Fiji are now the 8th ranked team in the world, above France, above Argentina. Argentina are 10th. So if you ever want to say, oh, you know, we've got a tough game against Argentina, it's the 10th best team in the world. So roll these guys. And that's World Rugby stuff. There was the World Rugby Awards last night.
Oh, yeah?
And these guys, they're taking their piss. Angus Gardner, Referee of the Year. You've got to be shitting me.
Remind us who he is again.
So this is the guy, this whole year, he was horrendous when the Boks played Argentina. Yeah. World Rugby, I've learned this from a reliable source on the inside, World Rugby brought him in and said, look, Angus, you had a shocker of a match. You cocked up at least 20 different calls. Actually cocked them up. Not like you missed a forward pass, like you cocked it up. He then gets given the microphone to go into other matches, and he's just been such a flaky git. And he was the guy that then said, no, don't worry, Owen Farrell can just basically try to decapitate someone. There's nothing more than a penalty.
Shit.
All of that. And then this prick then gets on stage and goes, yeah, it's a pleasure being here. And, you know, it's nice to inspire the fans. And, you know, like the players feed off my confidence. Oh, you self-indulged gobshite. And he gets an award, World Rugby Ref of the Year. But World Rugby, they really, there's no credibility left with these guys after this year. They've just been absolutely bollocks in how they've handled things. So this is their big award ceremony. But Ireland actually cleaned the table with the rest of the awards. Johnny Sexton got Player of the Year. Joe Schmidt, the Kiwi guy, he got Coach of the Year. And Ireland got Team of the Year.
Okay.
So even though they'll finish the year second behind New Zealand, they essentially beat everybody this year, really. No, it's a strong team. They beat the All Blacks 2 weeks ago.
All right.
So, good for Ireland. For the Box, well, it's another year of soul-searching. I mean, we must have the most well-acquitted soul-searching group in the world. If you need your soul to be searched, just go to SA Rugby. They'll find a few in a heartbeat. They've got teams, they've got expertise, they've got experience.
Very good.
So, yeah, they'll finish fifth, and Rossi Erasmus won't get another year, of course, because he is in charge of SA Rugby. So, no doubt, there will be no firing in the festive season. But it's a bit disappointing all the same. Into football, because people seem to like football more than they like rugby. It's because it's much easier to play. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're Man City, it does seem easy to play. They beat West Ham 4-0. Now, it is men versus boys with these guys at the moment. They do have all the money. I mean, all the money. So they just have such a great team. They can have like huge injuries and they'll still be so, so much better than the other teams. Man United, they're crap. They drew with Crystal Palace at home. Oh, jeepers. Jose is just not winning. Liverpool, though, they're also unbeaten this year. Now, you have to remind Liverpool fans of this because they'll tell you how incredible they are. But they beat Watford away 3-0. So we'll get into the log in a second, but this is a good result. Chelsea got hammered by Spurs 3-1 away. Man. And Arsenal, they beat Bournemouth yesterday. So all these teams are doing pretty well. But ultimately, how does that stack up against Man City? Well, goal-wise, you just don't stack up against Man City. They are currently top with 35 points. Their goal difference is also 35. So in 13 matches, they've got a favorable goal average of 35. That's incredible. 11 wins, 2 draws. Liverpool are still clinging on there. They also are unbeaten. They've won 10. They've drawn 3. So they're on 33 points, 2 back. And then Spurs are on 30. So how about that? These guys are doing well.
Excellent.
Spurs have had 3 losses, but they've also had 10 wins. They have not had a draw yet in the Premier League. And then Chelsea are in 4th, and then Arsenal are in 5th. Man United are currently in 7th, 14 points behind Man City after 13 games.
Huh.
How shit is that if you're going to be the manager or a team and know that the league's already run, and we're not even in December?
No, no, that's quite something.
For them it is, Gareth. For them it really is. In the Telkom Knockout Cup, that is the South African version of, well, just as a cup competition. Let's not glorify it too much. Baroka FC, they beat Wits yesterday. 1-0, they go through. And then Pirates beat the Chiefs. I saw something quite funny on Twitter over the weekend. It said this guy tried to save, change his password to Kaiser Chiefs, and Twitter told him it was too weak. The Pirates go through. Pirates beating Chiefs, they're 2-1. So your final of the Telkom Knockout Cup will be Baroka versus Pirates.
Huh.
In other football news, or hooligan news, if you'd like that, we do kind of neglect the hooligans in the show. I do apologize. But Boca Juniors versus River Plate. These two have not met. So for the first time in 58 years, they're in the Copa de Libertadores final. Now, Copa de Libertadores sounds lovely, right?
It does. It sounds really romantic great. And interesting.
But these dipshits have just ruined it. So the match was meant to take place on Saturday.
Yeah.
So what happens? Team buses get absolutely shattered. So River Plate, Boca, these guys are like arch rivals in Argentina, right? Can't behave at all. So the River Plate fans stormed the bus. And some of the players had like shards of glass in their eyes. They were completely screwed over. But like they literally vandalized this thing. Now, the Boca players, they all feel aggrieved. But their fans have also been a bunch of pricks. They once assaulted the River Plate fans with pepper spray in the tunnel as they ran out of the field recently. So, authorities doing the right thing. Postponed the match until Sunday last night at 8 o'clock. So, more than 24 hours after the thing. What happened? More fan violence. So this match is the final of the Copa de Libertadores.
Yes.
It's the only classy thing about this whole thing. It's been postponed 2 times because these guys cannot behave. How absolutely sad for these people. They cannot behave and they can't let footballers play football. God, there's some issues there. I know I ain't talking daddy issues. These are like big issues. Banyana Banyana, they're through to the semi-finals of the Women's AFCON. They're top Group B. So there's only 8 teams in the AFCON. So if you think I've missed a couple of steps from group stage to semi-finals, well, I have not.
Okay.
There's 8 teams and, well, you get 4 left after the group stages. Nigeria joined them from the group. Now, but Banyana Banyana played their worst game of the tournament so far. They drew 1-1 with Zambia, despite the fact they pretty much dominated them in the second half. All the goals coming in the first half there. But it's fine. They're through and they will now take on Mali. That'll be next week, this week.
All right.
Don't know. Making it up, actually. And the other side, Cameroon will take on Nigeria. So it's all taking place in Ghana. So if you're in Ghana, shout out. You can go watch these matches. Cameroon versus Nigeria, South Africa versus Mali. I think Tuesday, Banyana play. Yeah, that's, we'll go with that, Tuesday. In the Mzansi Super League.
Oh, yeah. There's another thing that's made up.
Cape Town Blitz. Cape Town Blitz suffered their first loss of the season so far. And you got to say, it's got a lot to do with their schedule. So this weekend, how difficult was this? They had to go to Johannesburg in the rain and play the Jersey Stars on Saturday night. And then straight away, go down to Paul to go play the Paul Rocks. Now, Faf du Plessis was playing for the Paul Rocks. And he seemed to be a rock, Gareth, your team. He stood up there, he scored the runs, and the Paul Rocks won by 5 wickets.
Marvellous.
The Spartans, they hosted Nelson Mandela Bay Giants yesterday, and they managed to lose that one, unfortunately. I think, you know, if you look at AB de Villiers' T20 track record, the teams he plays for are normally quite shy. You expect so much, but obviously, like every team AB de Villiers is on, everyone probably believes that he'll just do it for them. So Spartans lose a home game there. Really not good whatsoever. So Nelson Mandela Bay Giants, they're looking pretty good. Cape Town Blitz, they're looking pretty good. Those are two teams. But the Cape Town Blitz schedule does get quite difficult from here. Those are the two teams that are well in front of everybody. If you think, after playing 5 matches, the Blitz are on 18 points. After 4 matches, the Giants are on 12. And then the Jersey Stars are next past that with 5 points. Mm-hmm. Just 5 points. So big, big gulf between the two. But I really do see the Paul Rocks coming back. They've played 2 less than the Blitz so far. And all these matches will keep on coming all of this week. And remember, 16th of December is the grand final. So if you haven't watched the game yet, right, you can still get out there and do it. In golf, Belgium won the World Cup of Golf, which is very exciting for them. The match between Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods, that ended with Phil Mickelson winning. But nearly everybody was asleep by that stage. It was bloody boring. It was a nice effort. It really was. But it was so boring. I passed out after about 3 holes. Granted, I was pretty drunk at the stage. But it was late. It was boring. And is there a future with the match? I don't know. I don't think it can be Phil and Tiger. They both played like crap. They both missed putts all day. They need to get more people into it. They need to jazz it up a bit. But I do like the idea of these having these exhibition matches. If you can create more golf and more fun, I'm all for it. And Lewis Hamilton won the F1 thing in Abu Dhabi.
All right.
I think that is a comprehensive sports review for your Monday morning.
That's a lot to chew on.
And England are closing in another victory for a series whitewash against Sri Lanka in the Test cricket.
Yeah. Thank you, Ben.
I think that's it, Gareth.
All right, there we are. It's time for us to get into the money. Let's find out what Henry has for us this morning. Good morning, Henry Biddlecombe. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Fine, and you?
Good. Very good. You're looking fresh and full of vigor for a Monday morning.
Yeah, well, I just thought I'd ask. You know, 2 months of bad markets and you guys get rid of the coffee machine.
I mean, yeah, we did that on purpose.
Really?
Yeah, Henry.
Yeah, we've spoken about this.
You know what we did? We decided it was time to... what do they call those things? Austerity. For austerity, right?
It feels like austerity, right?
Absolutely. Just downsizing.
Yeah, we decided to get rid of the coffee machine. We will, however, be able to give you really, really shit, really cheap coffee from a tin.
The stage, I'll take it.
Well. Actually, stop right there. That percolator is punching above its weight right now.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay, we got a little percolator, so that could help.
Okay, good.
All right, so let's talk about the important stuff. U.S. earnings season. How's it looking?
So, I mean, we kind of find ourselves at the back end of one of the most significant earnings seasons in history, really, because earnings have grown at a rate that we haven't seen in a number of years. Mm-hmm. On average, the 500 companies that make up the S&P 500 have grown earnings by 27%. And that's very strong, even
that's
relative.
Amazing.
It's massive. And it's impressive, even relative to analysts' expectations. Analysts were forecasting 20%. So it's a massive beat.
So I'm imagining that this must be partly why so many countries that were developing economies and that were reliant on direct foreign investment have seen some of that slip away, because people in the US, for example, who have money, have now got a reason to keep it there and to invest in the stock market.
Yeah, and that's partially why you've seen an emerging market currency crisis develop in the earlier half of this year, really. You know, the money's going to follow growth, and that's what it's done. But you need to remember that at least half of that growth is attributable to a massive tax reform campaign that's taken place. So it's kind of a once-off step change in earnings. And really now the market's looking forward to next year. All eyes on next year, really.
So are you one of the people who thinks that there's inevitably going to be some kind of bad news at the end of all this good news?
Well, you know, I think that
the people just can't stop predicting an economic downturn.
No, they can't. But, you know, historically, October has always been a very poor month for stocks. And this year's October is certainly no exception. I mean, the S&P is down around 10% since the beginning of October. And the all-important NASDAQ's down around 15%. But I think at this point, the market actually has some very well-founded concerns around global economic growth going forward. And we can talk about the main two.
Okay.
And the first is really the trade spat that's developing between the USA and China.
Right.
And that's a very real threat to economic growth. You know, the USA has levied 25% tariff on $250 billion worth of goods per annum from China.
It's huge.
That represents around half of the USA's trade deficit with China. And they're threatening to levy a further 25% on the other half in January. And as we know, tariffs are very bad for economic growth. So to the extent that that's a structural change, that's very growth negative. Personally, I believe that it's just a very tough negotiating tactic that Donald Trump's adopting to try and achieve some kind of more open outcome with China.
Well, what's the problem there is that China kind of follow their own rules,
and
the US have more or less bent and buckled in order to accommodate China's desires so that they can be major trading partners.
Yeah, well,
and now,
end, yeah.
now Trump says we've just got to rectify this relationship because it's not exactly
fair.
An equal one, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's hard to argue that the West has had the same fair access to the Chinese economy that China has enjoyed to the West.
No, they haven't.
And Trump's really fighting that cause. So that's the one concern. And then, of course, the other one, and it's the one that everyone talks about these days, it's rising interest rates.
Yeah. We've experienced that just last week.
Yes, we have. Locally as well. You know, when rates go up, equity valuations come down. And also the cost of debt goes up. So companies that have gorged on too much debt find themselves in a little bit of a precarious position.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, looking forward into next year, I'm actually not all that concerned. I think that analysts are looking for around 9 to 10% earnings growth next year. And I think that's actually perfectly achievable. And the recent sell-off, I think, is an opportunity for investors to accumulate positions in companies where the fundamentals still look good.
Okay. So who?
So I'll give you three of the ones that I like in the US market at this point. And the first is one that it was a theme you were talking about earlier, and that's Amazon.
Okay.
And e-commerce. You know, people are ditching the shopping mall for the computer. And
right.
It's never been more evident than it is now. I think that story's changing a little bit. That's a company that's been priced for perfection. I mean, if you've been holding the share, you would have done very, very well over the last couple of years. But it's recently sold off from about $2,000 to $1,500. And that's because it's changing from a revenue growth story to a profit growth story.
Right.
The market's paying less attention to revenues and more attention to profits, and that makes sense.
So how could that be? How could they punish the share price then? I don't understand that.
Well, it's quite funny because Amazon have been growing their revenues at 50% per year every year for the last 10 years.
Ah, so unrealistic expectations.
And they've been applying a notional profit margin to those revenues. And now all of a sudden the company's starting to make money, and they're saying, well, hang on a second, now we need to pay attention to what the absolute level of profit is. So it's not necessarily negative. I think it just creates some short-term volatility. But do I think that this is a share that can quadruple over the next 5 years again? Absolutely. I think it's benefiting from some very powerful secular tailwinds. You know, global e-commerce penetration is only running at around 20%, so there's huge scope for growth.
Right.
And I think it's a share that you need to own.
Who else?
The other one is Microsoft. It's kind of the dorky dad of the tech stocks world. You know, if the Fangs are teenagers going through some kind of awkward transition at this point, Microsoft is the old reliable one. That's a business that's really successfully adapted from a sort of old school buy one big software license every 5 years model to a monthly cloud-based model with no sort of onerous contract. Mm-hmm. And their earnings growth prospects are improving all the time. You're seeing earnings upgrades coming through. And I think it's trading on a very fair valuation of at a forward PE of 20 times. So it's a stock I like.
You know, they've stayed relevant for a very long time.
Yeah. I mean, they've been through a couple of difficult times.
Sure.
Obviously, the transition to Satya Nadella, the new CEO, was a little bit tumultuous a couple of years ago. But again, this is an old world company that's made it into the new world, and it's done well to do that.
Right.
And then the other one is one that I think a number of younger listeners would be very familiar with, and that's Activision Blizzard.
That's gaming.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But more than that, it's the company that owns Call of Duty, World of Warcraft, Overwatch, and Candy Crush.
Wow. That's a massive revenue stream there.
It is. It's a very powerful portfolio. They had a little bit of a wobble in the last quarter. There was some disappointment with the earnings growth, and there was also a controversial release of a Diablo mobile game, and some of the fans weren't happy with the way that went. But essentially, you're buying four of the most valuable gaming franchises in the world at $50. A couple of months ago, the stock was trading at $80, and I think that that's a great opportunity.
Okay, so there's one to buy.
I think so.
All right. Any excitement locally over the next couple of days, or are people winding down? What's happening?
I think people are winding down. It's been a terrible year for the South African equity market. The market's down around 15% for the year. I think there was a lot of optimism after the December ANC elections, and that changed to a more realistic outlook over the next few months when earnings growth started to come through, and people realized, hang on, you know, just because there's potential change doesn't mean there is change.
Yeah.
On the ground. And I think we're going to have to wait until we find ourselves with next year's elections behind us before we start to see better numbers coming through from the likes of the retailers and the industrial companies and the banks, when South Africans are more confident and they start reaching into their pockets and spending more money.
Right. Well, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, let's hope those have some positive results.
So please buy another coffee machine.
All right. Killing two birds with one stone there,
we'll
Henry.
Do it. Thank you very much. Henry Biddlecombe, everybody, and we'll catch up with him again soon. And thanks for coming in and holding the fort for Anthea. Always good. All right, are you ready for your Monday to begin properly?
With Sia, of course.
Oh, said by Sia.
Is that how it
That's how it
begins
starts.
Properly?
People need to feel
no,
the...
No, Sia, Gareth was about to forget about you, and here I am.
Yes,
I got your back.
Tatala. Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Ben.
All right, what do you got, Sia?
I love this story. It's a nice local story that comes actually from the Twitterverse, because it all started with one simple tweet from a security guard here in Johannesburg called Solly. And he tweeted out a few days ago saying, "I'm not proud to be a security guard, but I'm proud to have a job." And it was that simple tweet that got people going, from people who admired Solly's honesty, but also were feeling for him in this circumstance. And Twitter, for once, was absolutely positive, overwhelming him with reassuring messages.
So hang on, what did he say? I don't understand.
He says, "I'm not proud to be a security guard, but I'm proud to have a job." And that's quite telling for the times that we're living in. For someone who says, you know what? This isn't the best job in the world. I don't exactly love doing this, but I want to take care of myself. I want to earn money. I want to look after my family. I want to be independent. And that's what people were taking from it.
Good for him. I mean, you know what? First of all, there's nothing embarrassing or shit about being a security guard. And there are loads of people employed in that business in South Africa.
Sorry, I'm just tweeting. I'm not proud to be a Cliff Central presenter.
But you're proud to have a job.
Proud to have a job.
Leanne, please don't take this away from Solly. I admire him for being this honest, but more than that, for people who banded up in support of Solly. So at Bricks_Dube, who's a businessman on Twitter, actually said, "Look, let's talk in the DMs if you need help with making a CV." Another Twitter user also offered the same, but the big win for Solly came with Euphonic, the DJ, who tweeted him and said, "Look, send me your CV." He actually gave him his email address and said, "Look, I have a bunch of different properties and let's see if I can put you in to a role somewhere there," because he says your attitude is on 100. But more, and that tweet alone from Euphonic got more than 8,200 retweets and more than 22,000 likes and 416 responses to that, with other people who actually voiced their own stories. There's a Twitter user who said, "I started there, my brother, as a security guard, but today I'm an engineer. You are not what you're doing. It's just a journey, so hang on in there and do your best to empower yourself. Most of all people you'll be meeting, you know, have started at the bottom, so don't be shy to ask for help or for other opportunities." Another Twitter user said, "I'm a security guard, but look, I'm using it right now to work on my education. I have 2 degrees. I dropped out of varsity due to financial problems, but I completed the first degree and the second one, and I'm now going for my post-grad. It's only a matter of time. It's your plan that matters, not your current job." And then finally, another Twitter user also said, "It's nothing to be ashamed of. I'm glad you're grateful to have a job, because through that, phase in your life, you can then do better. I worked as a security guard at the age of 20. I furthered my education. I equipped myself. And now I'm a procurement practitioner. And
what?
I'm procurement practitioner.
Okay.
And right now they're starting my master's in supply chain management. So it all started with a tweet. Solly just being very honest about his state of life. But more than that, I love the fact that people have been banding up in messages of support and actually people who are now saying, hey, let's see how we can work together, like Euphonic.
See, that's where Twitter is kind of nice. It's like group therapy. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't happen often. There's usually too many douchebags who are trying to knock people down. So at least this time, something good.
Exactly.
All right, very
and nice. That's just it by Sia for this morning.
Thank you very much. CliffCentral.com.